Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I filmed that video in front of a painting, which is hanging in our dining room. And some people were, this one specific comment on the post was, yeah, okay, no wonder why he's retiring. Just look at the picture behind him, at the painting behind him. And I gotta admit, it looks a lot like a Jackson Pollock. But in fact, when you just go a little bit down with the camera, it says Ethan, which is my older son. So people thought it's a multi-million dollar painting. And in fact, it has much more worth because it's from him. You can buy a Jackson Pollock. You cannot buy that one.
Hi, it's Sebastian Alvarado. Welcome back to Coffee and Football, the interview podcast where I sit down with some of the most influential profiles in the game to learn about their lives and career journeys. This week's episode is the second part of my interview with Christian Fuchs. So if you haven't listened to the first one, I'll recommend to do that before getting to this. In the following conversation, we dive further into Christian's personal perspectives, touching on things such as Leicester's incredibly successful Champions League run, where they made it all the way to the quarterfinals and barely lost to Atletico Madrid. We also get in on what his plans are for when his contract is up in 2019 and moving to New York City and potentially playing in the MLS or even the NASL. I ask him about his relation to money, fame, his boss who commutes by helicopter to the games, his wife who runs most of his life outside of the pitch. And as always, we'll wrap it up with a set of rapid-fire questions. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy part two with Christian Fuchs. You have the King Power Stadium is a quite special place. One of the things that, you know, you have an interesting owner.
Yeah, interesting is a good word, yeah.
Who flies the helicopter in and out of games. How would you describe him as a team owner?
He's there for the players. He's a very, you can talk to him anytime. He's very open when it comes to that. I think that just comes with the culture that they grew up with. So also after the title winning season, we all went to Thailand. We had some celebrations there. Hundreds of thousands of people were on the streets, also on the open bus tour. So he's trying to stay as close as possible to the team. He can take jokes on his cost, on our cost. It doesn't matter. So no, he's very, very attached to the players, which is not always the case, to be fair, because some owners just invest their money and that's it. But he really wants to be hands-on. He's coming every game to the locker and saying good luck for the game in person. So that's very much appreciated.
Oh, so he comes down to the locker room
every
before?
Every time.
All right. That's interesting. You had this past season we talked about a little bit. The league was a little bit up and down. Towards the end, it was very good. But you had an amazing run in the Champions League. What was that like?
Just enjoy every moment that we have. Because it might not come back so soon again. So it was a special thing for us, resulting from the season, from the past season. But then with Leicester being in the Champions League, then Leicester being in the final 16, and then Leicester being in the quarterfinals, it sounded like just a continuation of the story that we were writing already for the last 2 years. Being all the way on the bottom, just having the great escape, winning the Premier League, going to the Champions League, having a great campaign there. You know, going out there in the Leicester jersey, hearing the Champions League anthem, first time in the King Power, the second game at home. That was insane. That was simply amazing.
Who'd you have the first game?
Copenhagen. Was it Copenhagen? I'm not 100% sure yet. It was just Champions League. It was just another win for us. I think it was Copenhagen. Yeah, Copenhagen, because Bruges was the first game away, then Copenhagen. Yeah.
What's your most memorable moment from the Champions League?
The second leg against Sevilla, where we won at home 2-0 and we advanced to the quarterfinals. We were just standing on the field and we were hugging each other. It was one of the biggest successes of the club history. And we were literally working our butts off just to get there. It was a big effort and it paid off. Honestly, before the game, I was very confident. I told my wife, I spoke to her before, that we're going to advance. I was very, very optimistic and it worked out. What did I tell you?
That's exactly what you told me the other night. Yeah. You did tell me that you were sure they were going to win that game, which most people, myself included, didn't believe.
Yeah, but I had this feeling, you know, we were coming back from Sevilla. We lost 2-1, but we had this away goal. Then Ranieri got fired and Shakespeare took over and we had this amazing game against Liverpool. And I think Liverpool is about the same level like Sevilla, so they are a great side. And we marched on and simply the fact how we played around that time with how much energy we played, with how much intensity, made me believe with the people in the King Power Stadium behind us, made me believe that we're going to make that. We're going to make that. That was my attitude.
After that, did you think you would advance even further?
I thought so. I mean, we played a great game at home again, especially in the second half. See, that's I can live with that, you know, playing an amazing game, getting kicked out, trying everything. I think we showed again the world out there that Leicester is not this little tiny small team that everybody thought it is, but that we are a really good side with quality players. That makes me proud.
I just want to touch briefly on the national team because you do have almost 80 caps for the Austrian national team over 10 years or so.
Yeah.
How was the first call-up?
The first call-up was not even a game. It was a camp in Abu Dhabi with, I think it was 150 degrees in the sun every day, twice a day. I remember that. But then the first game was against Croatia, what I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, which just showed me again, I need to improve myself more and more and I can never stop. There's no way. But overall, the last 10 years playing for the Austrian national team were hard because we were not really a team that was successful. But then eventually my coach that I had in Bochum that got me to the German Bundesliga, Marcel Koller, took over and we literally advanced on a monthly basis and we qualified for the Euros 2016 in France. And never mind how we ended up in the Euros, if we would have won them or if we got kicked out after the group stage. For me, after that, it was the end for my national team career.
Take me through that moment that you decided to retire and how did you go about making the decision and then telling people about it?
My decision was not from one day to the other. For me, it all came down to family. How did you say that again before when we were talking about being younger and how rich that you cannot do everything you want? Come on. I'm just looking for one word. Well, when you're younger, what we spoke about at the beginning, when you're younger, you cannot do everything you want. How do you call that? In order to become professional or how?
No fucks given.
No fucks given. Fuck off. Come on. Fucking hell.
We're talking about sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
That's what you want?
Yeah.
Just think of the Bible and keep going.
Okay.
Can you ask me again, please?
Hold on. I need a sip of coffee.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So I was asking you about the moment when you decided to retire from the national team. What went into that, and then how you went about making the announcement?
So to me, it was not a decision that that just came to my mind and I said, okay, now I'm going to retire. No, I thought about it pretty well. I discussed it with my family because honestly, my wife, she got me to play another qualifier. I wanted to quit my national team career really earlier because you see your kids growing up far away. You can't really be with them now, not playing for a national team. It at least gives me 4 days a month, if so, to spend more time with them. And it's just the sacrifice that I didn't want to take anymore. It has been enough. I think 10 years were great. I think I gave a lot for my country. And I announced it these days via social media. That's very common these days. I got mixed reactions because people didn't really believe that it's just down to family, which it is. But because the national team didn't play that well at the Euros, they all thought, okay, there's a big drama at the national team. And then giving them the answer saying, no, it's only down to family. They were kind of disappointed with that, but who cares? I'm happy now. I'm happy with my national team career, 78 caps in 10 years. I'm very happy with that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There was one reaction that you paid special attention to. Can you tell me about that?
You mean the one with the painting? So I filmed that video in front of a painting, which is hanging in our kitchen, in our dining room. And some people were, this one specific comment on the post was, yeah, okay, no wonder why he's retiring. Just look at the picture behind him, at the painting behind him. And I gotta admit, it looks a lot like a Jackson Pollock. But in fact, when you just go a little bit down with the camera, it says Ethan, which is my older son. So people thought it's a multi-million dollar painting. And in fact, it has much more worth because it's from him. So there is no value in that. And if somebody wants to buy it, there's no chance to buy it. You can buy a Jackson Pollock. You cannot buy that one. So that was the funny fact beside it, because people said, yeah, he is a multi-millionaire. Where in fact, it's only down to family, to be fair. And then no money in the world can give me that.
Fantastic. And I do appreciate, obviously, you've mentioned your family and your wife several times. What does your wife do for a living?
Well, she has to stand me first, which is, I think, the hardest job.
Yeah, she puts you in order.
To be alongside me, yeah. I understand that I can be a pain in the ass sometimes, but listen, I think that's why she's loving me. She has her own event company called Rye Entertainment. She's hosting concerts, classical concerts. She's doing a lot of charity work for Romania. She's born Romanian, so she's helping her country to develop, kind of. She's running my life a little bit over here. She's running Fox Soccer Academy. She's running No Fooks Given. I don't know what she's not doing, but she is very good in everything she does.
She seems to be working quite a bit harder than you do, huh?
Come on, give me a break. I showed you my interval runs that I have to do in off-season. And you wanted them, so
go ahead and then tell me that I'm not working hard.
I'll be texting you my times.
Oh, please do.
Let's see if you're impressed.
I want to see how fast you can run.
Exactly. I'll find a way to cheat on those. I'll probably take a bike down or something.
No, but she's, to be in all fairness, she's a very great support for our life, for my life. So
fantastic, and she is sitting here for a couple of hours with us.
Yeah, that's so. What puts me under pressure right now. So I have to, I have to be nice. No.
In being a Premier League player, and obviously now being a champ, there's other components that comes with that in terms of fame, in terms of money, in terms of people wanting access and so on. What's your relation to fame and money?
Well, I think, especially in the city here, money makes life a little bit easier. But I'm really happy to be here and have my privacy. Walking around in Leicester is okay. People are respectful, but I really don't need that. I'm not that type of person that needs the fame. It doesn't really help.
What's your relation to money?
That it's important. It is. That's how we can survive. That's how I can take care of my family, of my kids. If there would be another system in place, I would probably prefer that. But it is what it is, and we need it.
You mentioned earlier that you'll do, I believe, maybe 2 more years before moving to New York permanently. What if you get an offer from China and they say, well, we'll pay you 5 times more?
For how long?
Let's say for
that's the thing. When I had to weigh my options before I joined Leicester, I could have gone to Russia and the money would have been much more, but it was not of my interest. I decided to go to the Premier League, which is also not bad. For me, family is more important than that.
So what is the plan? So 2 more years or 1?
2 more years my country is now, yeah.
And then coming here, and the plan is to play in the MLS?
Yeah, why not? Or NASL.
It needs to be New York, though.
Should be New York, preferable.
What's your impression of the MLS?
It's advancing. It's getting better and better. I think it's still a little bit back from what's happening in Europe, but I think that's just normal because it's not the main sport here, but it's growing so much. I mean, every kid right now is just talking about football or soccer, they are calling it. So I think it's progressing very fast. And I think in 10 years from now, we will have a great league, 20 years maybe, but it's advancing a lot.
We're getting towards the end. I'll get into a few rapid-fire questions.
Already?
No, we can talk for a bit more. We said, okay, it's almost 2:30. You have dinner at 7. So, they're rapid-fire, but if you want to elaborate, feel free to do so.
In German?
In whichever language you want. Do it in German, and then we're gonna dub it to like the old school movies, you know.
Okay, you can try.
Favorite team?
Leicester City.
Did you have any favorite team growing up?
Yes.
And that was.
I'm going question by question. Quick fire, no? Manchester United.
Oh gosh!
What? Okay. I told you, I was a fan of Eric Cantona when I was young.
That's respectable, but...
So that's right. Why I loved Manchester United.
All right.
And there's nothing bad about that, even if I'm playing for Leicester. I was also young and I had my idols. And I had teams that I was looking up. I was also looking up to Rapid Vienna when I was a young boy. Austria, Salzburg, when they were in the UEFA Cup back then. So there were some teams that inspired me and some players, obviously.
The biggest moment of your career?
Winning the Premier League. Hello. That was by far up there.
What would be the next best?
the assist to Jamie Vardy's 11th goal in the Premier League, consecutive goal where we played against Manchester United. Here we go. So I got the ball from Kasper Schmeichel on the right side. It was fun when the commentator said, he is left back Fuchs, but I was on the right side. And I played a ball through the defense and he scored. This scene and then how the players came together and celebrated with Vards. Very honestly, everybody came together and was honestly happy for him to achieve that 11th goal.
The best player you've played with?
Played with? Raul.
The best player you played against?
Robin. See, I can breathe pretty quick. Snap, snap, snap.
The manager that's meant most to your career?
Thomas Tuchel.
What advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
Be patient, buddy. Be patient. But work hard. So that's what I'm trying to tell all my players. It's down to patience, but also to hard work.
The most well-known football contact in your phone?
In the States, it's probably Andreas Herzog, because he was assistant coach of Jürgen Klinsmann for a long time. And I'm good friends with him.
And internationally?
Well, I have Claudio Ranieri in there, Thomas Tuchel. I think they're pretty okay.
Yeah, people know who they are.
Jermaine Jones, maybe you know him. But okay. Listen, it's just people that you're working with, and you keep people in the phone book that you like to stay in touch with.
We've obviously said it several times, but Leicester winning the Premier League, it's also seen as one of the greatest, maybe underdog stories in sports history, not only in football. And there's been some talks of Hollywood wanting to do a movie about it. If that happened, who would play the role of Christian Fuchs?
I hope Ryan Reynolds is listening to this now here.
He would be the one.
Yeah, well, the thing is he tried to call me. I didn't have time because I was celebrating, and but I think he would be a good actor in my case. Also, to be honest, there were a lot of people already comparing Ryan Reynolds with me on Twitter, on social media, and it's funny how people see similarities, which I don't, because it's me, you know, and that's him. But why not?
Three people in the football world, past or present, and let's assume language is not a barrier, that you get to take.
It should not be a barrier. It shouldn't be.
It should never be. But three people that you get to take for dinner, anybody in the football world, past or present, who are the three?
Eric Cantona, Rivaldo, which are two of my idols, as you know. And a past one, a present one. Sindelar.
Sindelar?
Yeah.
Who is that?
He was one of the biggest Austrian footballers ever.
And where would you take them?
Out to La Esquina downtown. They have a good tequila menu. Tapas menu.
Yeah, I'm sure you know nothing about that, right?
No, nothing. Nothing.
Do you have anything you would like to recommend?
Anything I want. Well, I mentioned Fox Soccer and No Fuchs Given already 20 times. In all fairness, just enjoy whatever you do, give it everything, and don't give a fuchs. You understand? No fuchs given.
I absolutely understand that.
100%.
I'll start using that.
And listen to this podcast more often, all right?
At least your episode.
Yes, of course. But that's interesting, you know? To give this opportunity, and then, because you never have this opportunity, what would you say then? What would you say?
I'll tell you this, from previous guests, I've gotten all kinds of recommendations. There's people who recommend a restaurant in their hometown. There's people that's recommended...
My hometown doesn't have a restaurant at all.
Okay, give me a restaurant in Leicester. Like, if I come to Leicester, hopefully this next season, since it'll be, you know, you're almost done there, I should come over and watch a game. So to have a good time there, what are the spots I should go to?
Well, you don't want to stay in Leicester. You want to go to a place called Hambledon Hall, which was like an old hunting house. And they transformed it, very typical British, old school, nice bar. They transferred it to a restaurant, which has a Michelin star, and a hotel. It's on a peninsula, so you're surrounded by water. And it's our favorite restaurant there.
Sounds good. So we'll come for a game, and then after the game, that's the spot.
Exactly.
Sounds good. A movie recommendation.
Movie. I literally have no time to watch movies.
You just watched one.
Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, she's
okay,
on it.
This movie is called The Age of Adeline.
Don't know of it.
I don't know her. It's obviously.
No, I don't know of the movie.
Oh, I see. What? You should watch it. It's okay. Very interesting.
Sounds good. A book recommendation.
Yeah, The Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Is it right? Yeah. The Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Great. How can people follow you?
Yeah, they can either walk after me, or they follow me on Instagram, which is probably easier. Social media, like Twitter, Facebook. So I'm probably one of those guys that does all this social media by himself.
Oh, you do, actually?
Yeah. I think that's very important to stay authentic. So I have here and there some help, but the posting I do myself, and the contents and all that, that's literally me.
That's cool.
Otherwise, you won't see a picture of me and my son wearing a hat, because then it would not be me.
Yeah. Last question. Who do you think I should interview on this podcast?
Try to catch Raul. I think it might be interesting. I got to know Steve Nash just recently, and he's a very great character. My son would like for you to interview the ABC Monsters.
We'll see if we can make that happen. But both Raul and Nash are absolutely on my list.
They're very, very great. Yeah, great people.
Fantastic. Well, Christian, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time here during your vacation. I truly appreciate that. We look forward to following you. And
no, I was happy to be here. Well, you sold me with the coffee, to be fair. You sold me it's coffee and football, and I was like, yes, that's the place to go to.
That's the one.
You should open a coffee shop.
It's in the works.
Great. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, well,
I'll be your main customer.
Sounds good. Maybe we'll get some no-focus coffee in there as well.
Oh, you have the sponsorship guaranteed. I'm telling you that.
Fantastic. We'll set it up. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Best of luck. Thank you to your family who's here supporting, obviously. So very much appreciated. Best of luck. We look forward to seeing the next couple of seasons and then seeing you over on this side in a couple of years.
I'm looking forward to that. Maybe I'll be here soon again.
Sounds good. You're very welcome for part two. So.
All right.
Thank you, Christian. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please subscribe on iTunes and write a review. I would really appreciate it as we grow this podcast one listener at a time. If you have any feedback or ideas, feel free to send me an email at sebastian@coffeeandfootball.com. You can also link up with me via Twitter. The handle is @coffeesfootball. Stay tuned for next episode. It will be another amazing one. Thanks again and have a great week.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.